The waters of time flow. And it would be remiss in not realizing already we are on the third Sunday after Easter. 4 Sundays ago, we celebrated with great joy, with pomp and circumstance, as much as we could gather together, the glorious resurrection of our Lord, beginning with the magnificent Easter Vigil Mass and the blessing of the fire and of the candle and of the lustral waters, and then with a magnificent liturgy of Holy Mother, the Church. Already is but a gentle memory of the near past. And our Lord very much knows this. And so he is preparing us, and Holy Mother the Church very much knows this. And she is preparing us. And so we have in the Gospel the fact that our Lord is preparing the Church and all of us for his glorious ascension into heaven. In just a few weeks, little more than 2 weeks, we will celebrate the magnificent feast of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. He who has died, has suffered horribly, and has died and has risen from the dead, he will rise again into heaven, returning to the Trinity from which he has never been parted in reality, but returning to the Father and to the Holy Spirit in a diverse manner, as we shall see, for he will come back to heaven as was the will of the Trinity, with the human nature that he took on from the Immaculate Ever Virgin Mary. So that we sing, we chant, we believe. True God from true God, true man. True God and true man. That is how he returns to heaven, to his throne. And he's preparing us. Why? Because for us and for the apostles in particular and the disciples, it was indeed to be a sad day. Any parting is a sad day. And there are some partings which are sadder than others. But for them it must have been indeed a terrible anguish and sorrow, though yet filled with faith. But the reality of the fact that he is truly God, that he has risen from the dead, that he has redeemed them, but that they will not see him for a little while, and then again they will see him. And of course, he speaks of his return in glory at the end of time. Now for you and me, it is not a little while. It's a long, long, long time. And only he knows exactly when that will be. No one else. And we look forward to it with great trepidation. Now, I remember in past years mentioning this to some of our parishioners. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, the Pater Noster, we are praying for the end of the world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's exactly what we are praying for. And some people are terrified. Oh, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? Have faith, little flock. He knows what he is doing. He is God. He knows what sufferings and trepidations you will have to undergo. That is why he says, and yet a little while, and you will see me again. In the meantime, we must traverse the time that God has given us, and only God knows. Tomorrow, you may be waking my corpse, or yours. Who knows? What difference does it make? God's will is what is the difference, what is important. And he knows what he is doing. So does his most holy mother, who never misses anything. St. Peter in the epistle of today also tries to prepare us for this second coming of Christ, to which we look forward. And of course, each one of you knows what it is that you're holding back, that you're holding in the basket of your soul. Is it wonderful food, wonderful, delicious eggs, or are they rotten eggs full of sulfur and evil? Only you can determine that, because only you do what it is that you do or don't do. St. Peter tells us, and this concerns many, many things, refrain yourselves from carnal desires, carnal, of the flesh, not of the Spirit, not of God, of the flesh. And there are also many. All you need to do is to look at the seven capital sins. But in this day and age in which we live, one of the worst things, one of the most predominant things into which most people, even good Catholics, even traditional Catholics, sometimes traditional Catholics bear themselves around as if they were the example, the epitome of holiness, as if Jesus himself was walking around with them. I must remind you that until 50 years ago, there was nothing but traditional Catholics. There were the Ten Commandments. There were the seven precepts. And there were the seven capital sins. And in this earth in which we live, not only do we have gluttony and drunkenness, greed and sloth, and that's one that almost everybody is guilty of, perhaps the worst, in which the devil rejoices tremendously, and he uses every opportunity possible to engulf you in it, is that of lust. I always find it very sad that such a little portion of our human nature and our human body should be so guilty of so many souls in hell. And that's exactly what it is. And so, St. Peter warns us, because if we are going to join our Lord, if we are going to see him again, other than as a just and stern judge who will condemn us forever to the fires of hell, which we deserve, if we are going to see him otherwise, then we need to observe the precepts of God and of his holy church. And that is what St. Peter is speaking about. Abstain yourself, refrain yourselves from carnal desires. It is not easy to be holy. It is not easy to be pure. And it is incredibly evil for anyone to receive Holy Communion in such a state as is very common today in our world, in our society that does not know God, that does not know His commandments. And so I can only preach and teach. I can't do any more than that other than prayer, which I do continuously. I remember a few years ago, and of course, somebody has to give the example, that a very good friend of mine, or he became a very good friend of mine, was asked to take a look at me and see what it is that was good or bad about me. And one of the things that he was aghast at was the fact that I told him, and it is true, it was true, it is true, that I was and am always conscious of the presence of God. In the beautiful tome that I recommend very highly, The Divine Intimacy, which is of the particular Carmelite influence, but nevertheless is very, very good for every single person. Man, woman, priest, and nun, bishops, and also for the Pope if he ever had it or read it. And don't forget, there are many popes in hell, so that's no big deal. He says that we must always live in the presence of God. That we need to realize that God is within us and that God is all around us. And that will help us to realize that we must not sin, especially mortal sin, which greatly offends God, greatly offends His most holy and immaculate mother, greatly offends His church. Because every time you or I commit a sin, venial or mortal, it affects every other member of the church throughout the whole world, because the church is the mystical body of Christ. And we are born therein because of this Jesus Christ, who has died and has risen from the dead through the sacrament of baptism. He tells us that He is the only way into the church. He is the only way into heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one knows the Father except I, and no one knows me unless the Father show him me. And that is part of what it means to live in the presence of God. So we must honor God in every which way. Refrain and run from temptations and sin, from all the carnal desires, as says St. Peter, with everything that is in you and around you. These desires war against the soul. And so, in particular, for these reasons, and I have been pondering this for some time, and in particular as we celebrate tomorrow the feast of St. Joseph, the patron saint of workers, not the patron saint of people who are on vacation or are retired or in Club Med or doing nothing. As long as you live, you need to work for God. And don't ever forget that. So tomorrow we celebrate St. Joseph the worker. And then this month of May, which is so very, very special to us, in this shrine of Our Lady of Fatima, dedicated to the Most Holy, Immaculate, Ever Virgin Mary, our beloved Mother. And I have decided, and of course, next Saturday we have the practice for all the acolytes, present and future, unless you have been personally excused by me and only one person has. I will at that time announce and prepare you that I want all of you who are acolytes, and I will ask the Holy Name Society to sponsor it, to make this very special consecration of chastity through St. Thomas Aquinas, a patron saint of chastity and the virtue of purity. And so all these young men, of course, some of you who want to join, you can take care of that yourself. I am the representative of the confraternity of the warfare of the angels and of St. Thomas Aquinas for purity. Many of my spiritual sons have already made this consecration. And so next Saturday I will announce this again, and we will do it sometime during the month of May, that you may be consecrated to Jesus and Mary in this most holy virtue of purity, a necessary virtue. Without it, you cannot enter heaven. And it doesn't matter whether you are celibate, if you're going to be a priest or a seminarian or a religious, or whether you are married. Every one of us is called to live chastity, which means that we must be pure according to our station in life. And I must remind you of this. This is extremely important. It is important for your salvation. And because it is important for your salvation, my telling you of it is important for my salvation. So we will be doing this, and others who wish to join at that time or another time, we will be doing it, and I will hear your consecration and bless you in the medal of St. Thomas and the cord of St. Thomas that you may wear if you wish, that will consecrate your purity or your virginity if you are still a virgin, which hopefully most of us are. So today we consecrate ourselves already ahead of time to St. Joseph, the most chaste spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the putative father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who worked all the days of his life for the glory of God. And we will consecrate ourselves as we begin the month of May, Mens Maio, to Our Lady, the most pure rose of the magnificent garden of the Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.